Monsignor Mark Langham, there's no doubt that the 1982 papal visit by Pope John Paul II was a real symbolic moment of reconciliation between Anglicans and Catholics, the first pope to visit Britain since the Reformation. What kind of expectations can we have, perhaps, from this visit of Pope Benedict?
Firstly, it's a state visit, so it's different from the 1982 visit, which was a pastoral visit to the Roman Catholics of England and Wales. This is a response to a request from the Queen and the government. So in terms of ecumenism, it is the head of the Roman Catholic Church coming, bringing his message of the contribution that the faith can make to British society in general. At a more specifically ecumenical level, the Holy Father will encounter the Archbishop of Canterbury several times, and there will be an opportunity both for a personal and a public declaration of the intent of the Roman Catholic and the Anglican churches to continue their journey towards full and visible union, which is always their aim. I think the meeting at Westminster Abbey with the Archbishop of Canterbury will be very powerful. As in 1982, the Pope and the Archbishop will pray together, side by side, at the shrine of a saint who is recognised in both communions. And this will be a powerful image of the shared tradition and the shared qualities of both faiths. That meeting will also, as it were, give a religious dimension to the whole theme of the papal visit, which is that faith has a contribution to make to our society. And he's really saying at Westminster Abbey, we make that contribution together. Anglicans, Roman Catholics, and members of other traditions as well can make a positive contribution to British society. So very strong ecumenical themes coming across.
Before that service in Westminster Abbey, of course, Pope Benedict goes to Lambeth Palace, where he is received by the Archbishop. Dr. Williams, of course, has been a number of times received here in the Vatican by the Pope. That in itself has a certain significance, doesn't it, in the delicate dialogue around the questions of authority in the Church?
Yes, it's a difficult time in some ways for the ecumenical relations between the Roman Catholic and Anglican communions. And Pope Benedict and the Archbishop have spoken about this before. Their meeting together does two things. Firstly, it enables these issues to be raised and move up the agenda, and they can address these issues. But also it confirms that at a personal level, there is a relationship between the two of friendship, of shared vision, of shared faith. And that's very important as a momentum to carry on the dialogue. We're very much expecting that at that Lambeth meeting, there will be mention made of the new phase of ARCIC, the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, which will meet early next year and continue that traditional process of dialogue between the two communions.
So it's fair to say that we're not expecting any major breakthroughs at this visit, but it's looking ahead, as you say, to the next ARCIC session.
That's right. I think it will take the longer view and is really dealing with more fundamental relationships, the way that we give witness together, the way that we work together, the way that our mission bears fruit in society together. Those are the things, rather than any landmark statement of any great initiative that we're going to take.
You mentioned that important celebration at Westminster Abbey. For the people of Britain, whether they profess any faith or not, this is a very significant place, isn't it? And therefore a very important moment on the visit.
Westminster Abbey is not only perhaps the most important church, but it's also at the seat of government. It was founded by St. Edward at the heart of his government and his parliament. So there, as it were, church and state come together. And for the Archbishop and the Pope to pray together in this ancient building is a great symbol of the role of faith at the heart of our nation.
One of the main reasons for this papal visit to Britain is the beatification of Cardinal Newman, himself a convert from Anglican vicar to Catholic priest. He's a complex figure, isn't he? Greatly revered by both churches. What role does he really play in this ecumenical dialogue?
Cardinal Newman is, as you say, a complex figure who made a journey in his life, a personal journey, which was really motivated by his quest for truth. He had a great integrity in his search for truth. So, as you say, he moved from being a very prominent Anglican theologian and clergyman to becoming a Roman Catholic and a cardinal. That journey in itself creates a link, a bond between the two. But it's clear that as a convert, he had moved on and, in a sense, set his past behind him. He'd said some difficult and harsh things about the Church of England. But also, he acts as a bridge between the two communions. In his autobiography, the Apologia Pro Vita Sua, he goes out of his way to show the debt that he owes to the Church of England. The Church of England has shaped and formed me. He received his faith through the Church of England. And that book bristles with names of Anglican theologians, churchmen, scholar, to whom he owed a great debt, whose friendship he always enjoyed and whom he recognised had helped form him. And at the end of that book, he also says the attitude of Roman Catholics in England and Wales towards the Church of England should be one of support and recognising that together they have a great role to play. So personally, there is a strong ecumenical link. In more general terms, of course, John Henry Newman, as an Anglican, helped revive the Catholic wing of the Church of England, which has shaped how it is today. Those Catholic elements, which were emphasised from the early church, have their parallels in the Roman Catholic Church. And much of the dialogue that we've undertaken in recent decades has been recognising those similarities, those echoes in each other. John Henry Newman and his companions had a very important role in bringing those elements to the forefront. And so, in a real sense, I think he has enabled the ecumenical dialogue of recent decades to take place.
One of the difficulties that Newman grappled with was the very different attitude of Anglicans and Catholics in his day towards the Virgin Mary, a theme, of course, that was taken up by the recent Archic document, Mary, Grace and Hope in Christ. Is it true to say, do you think, that this problem has largely been overcome? It's seen still as a sticking point, isn't it, today?
The document on Mary was a remarkable breakthrough, and it's important to say that on the Anglican team there were theologians from across the tradition of Anglicanism, not simply those on the Catholic wing. And so it was really a document that spoke from the heart of the Anglican communion. But at the same time, I think it's true to say there have been problems in the reception of this document, and many Anglicans have had problems with its conclusions. I don't think it's a matter of the document itself. I think it's a matter of explaining, communicating, making clear the themes within the document. As the document itself shows, many of the perceptions of Roman Catholic attitudes towards Mary are not correct and need to be challenged. And a lot of the dialogue is about telling the truth to each other, what we really believe, and, as it were, separating from that some more popular or some excessive devotions that have taken place in the past, to get down to what the true position of the Church on the Blessed Virgin Mary is. I think if one compares these and brings these together, then there is a possibility of communicating this remarkable document in a way that will really create, a bridge between the two traditions.
One of the greatest challenges for those working in ecumenism is exactly this, translating the theological breakthroughs down to parish, down to local level. Do you think the Pope's visit to Britain can do anything to try and help this process?
I think it will help raise awareness of the shared Christian traditions and the task that the Christian traditions have together. And in that respect, I think it will help ordinary Christians to realise that we do need to grow together. We do need to set differences aside where possible in order to preach the gospel to our society. The Pope's message very much to the British nation will be the role of religion, not simply Roman Catholicism, in contributing to the state and the well-being of its citizens. And it's a powerful message that will echo with Christians of all traditions. To that extent, I think it will help the great corpus of Archic works to be understood, to be revisited in a fresh light, with a fresh urgency. And I think raising the profile of the religious contribution to our society, therefore, can help the reception of these documents, which has been slow indeed.
Beyond the Anglican Catholic dialogue, of course, the Pope will be meeting with the heads of the other Christian traditions in Britain. What kind of attitude, what is the mood, if you like, amongst other Christians towards this papal visit, do you think?
As far as I've been able to tell, there's a great welcome and a great anticipation of the papal visit. Other Christians tell me, remarkably, that they recognise the Pope has a unique position and a unique role in bringing Christians together. It's something that really no one else is able to do. And so the visit of the Holy Father marks an opportunity for different traditions to come together, to celebrate what we share in common, and to recognise the tasks that we have together of preaching faith.
Monsignor Langer, for many years you were the administrator at Westminster Cathedral, weren't you? Can you tell us something about the history and the significance of this great building for the church in Britain today?
Westminster Cathedral is one of the most remarkable churches, buildings in London. Its Eastern Byzantine style immediately marks it out as something unique. It represents the presence of the Roman Catholic religion at the heart of our nation, close to its government. Its building and the size and the scale of it were a remarkable statement in mid-Victorian England of the arrival, the presence, the importance of the Roman Catholic community. And if you like, it's continued as the shop front of the Roman Catholic faith in England and Wales. I always note that television interviews or items relating to the Roman Catholic Church are filmed in front of Westminster Cathedral. It is the icon or the image of the Roman Catholic community. And so the visit of the Holy Father to Westminster Cathedral is a very important moment for the Roman Catholic community, symbolising that this is as well a pastoral visit to the Roman Catholic community. And they will draw great encouragement and great strength from the Mass that he celebrates in this great shrine in the centre of London.